Go with me, if you would, back to Ruth chapter 2. As a little bit of a recap from last week, we saw that Ruth is a picture of God's people. If the Lord is willing, we're going to go through all four of these chapters, and Ruth is a beautiful picture of God's people. She was from the city of Moab. And Moab, the people, they were the shameful enemies of God. And the enemies of God's people, they were the enemy. That's what the word enmity means. And that's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians and to all the churches. He said, you were enmity against God. You started out as the enemy of God. People naturally think that you start out in the world as God's friend and, you know, don't ruin it. That's the whole goal of life on earth. Don't ruin it. That's not how it is. You start out at enmity. You start out as an enemy. That's who the people of Moab were, the enemies of God, the enemies of His people. But Ruth was brought to the house of bread. She was from Moab, but she was brought to the house of bread, the place where the Lord is praised. That's what Bethlehem, Judah means. And she was brought there by her mother-in-law, Naomi, who is a picture of God's Holy Spirit. I thank God for His Holy Spirit. I do. You know, I love how the Lord said in John 16, when He comes to you, I must go that He'll come to you. And when He comes to you, He won't speak of Himself. He'll only speak of Me. And if we are going to speak of Christ tonight, and if we're going to enter into Christ tonight, if we're going to worship Christ tonight, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit of God, who is going to lead us to Him. And that's who Naomi represents, God's Spirit, who led Ruth to Bethlehem, Judah. Last week, we saw Naomi to be the preacher of the message. And we saw her to be the message itself. But we said that she was going to soon represent God's Spirit. And both of those things, if they're of God, they're both brought by the Spirit. They're both of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is the one who quickens. The Spirit is the one who calls. The Spirit is the one who draws God's people back to Him. So at the end of chapter 1, Naomi is bringing Ruth in to Bethlehem, Judah. And it says in verse 21 that they were coming in empty. Naomi said she went out full, but she said, the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And that's how a sinner comes to God. That's how a sinner comes to Christ. That's how a sinner is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Empty. Empty. Here is the message. The Word of God goes out, and here's the message. Come to Christ. That's the command. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if a sinner is going to come to Christ, he's going to have to come empty. Because that's the only way he can come. That's all that he is. Empty. That's all that we are in the flesh. Empty. Isaiah 55 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Even though you're coming empty. Even though, as the song says, in my hand no price I bring. Even though you have nothing to offer, nothing of any value, the message is come. That's how all of God's people come. Every soul that comes to Christ comes empty. But here's the good news. Every soul that comes to Christ empty gets filled. If we're going to come, we're going to have to come empty. But every soul that comes empty gets filled. It was their emptiness that brought them to Bethlehem, Judah. That's what gave them a desire. Naomi had heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, and they had a need in them. And they were willingly drawn by a desire to fill that need. And they're about to find out that only one man is able to fill that need. And that's what all of God's people find out. Only one man is able to fill that need, that great need. So chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." He represents the only man who can fulfill the need of an empty, lost sinner before God. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." The man. Naomi brought Ruth, and what we're going to do is we're just going to focus on Ruth. Naomi, representing God's Spirit, brought Ruth, and to focus on her specifically for just a minute here. Ruth came to Bethlehem, Judah, with nothing. She owned nothing. Nothing in Bethlehem, Judah. She was from Moab. She had a right to nothing. She was a beggar. She came in as a beggar. But it just so happens that the good providence and the grace of God brought her to the only man who could give her everything and could make her a joint heir inheritor of everything. She came in with nothing. And God brought her to the only man that could give her everything. Ruth didn't come in on her own right. That's the point. She came in on the right of another. She came in on the right of another. Verse 1 says, "And Naomi had a kinsman named Boaz." Naomi had a kinsman named Boaz. And the Spirit of God has a kinsman named Jesus Christ. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess," that means Ruth, the shameful sinner, "said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." She realized that she needed grace. She was brought to a place where she realized that she needed mercy and grace. She said to Naomi, "They've come into this place and they're beggars. They come empty. They have nothing." And she said, "I need grace. I need some mercy and I need some grace." The end of verse 2 says, "And Naomi said unto her, go, my daughter." And that's what the Spirit of God says to every sinful child of God. Every soul that's brought to that place, this is what the Spirit says to them. You go to grace. You go to grace. And I'm so thankful the Spirit of God does that. I'm so grateful that He, in the midst of our bondage, in the midst of our law, in the midst of our works, in spite of everything we think, everything that we believe, everything that we are in the flesh, the Spirit of God comes to us and He says to our heart, "You go to grace." While the flesh constantly wants to go to the law, the Spirit of God says, "You go to grace." The flesh constantly wants to go to my works. The Spirit of God says, "You go to grace. You get to grace." God's Spirit points God's desperately needy people to Christ in His grace, the favor of God, the free kindness and gift of God. That's what the Spirit does. And where is all of that found? Where is God's grace found and His kindness and His favor? It's all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Wasn't she lucky? Man, that girl was so lucky. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as luck. And there's no such thing as accidents. And that's what people think. They think, well, you know, I was going this direction, but, you know, it just so happened that I was crossed with this. And there's no such thing as chance with God. There is only His perfect providence. There's only His perfect predestination. Everything concerning God and His people is ordered from the foundation of the world. Everything is predestined to take place. Everything is perfectly bringing God's people to Christ. Every single thing. And Ruth is finding that out. She's about to find that out for sure. Verse 3 says, "She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who is of the kindred of Elimelech, and behold, Boaz came." And I love that. That sounds so just glorious to me. That sounds, you know, majestic. "And behold, Boaz came." Boaz came to her where she was. This is such good news. You know, sinners cannot come to Christ. The message is come to Christ, but the law proves to us we can't. Our Lord said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw that man." But the good news is Christ comes to His people. Boaz came to her where she was. She was a beggar. And that's what Christ does for every single one of His people. Them coming to Christ is really Christ coming to them. Christ comes to His people where they are. And when He does that, it is clearly revealed to them. When Christ comes, it's clearly revealed who He is and who they are. That's what happens. Verse 4 says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers," who represent God's preachers, reaping and gleaning in order to feed the sheep. "Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. They answered him, The Lord bless thee." They said, "You're the blessed one of the Lord. All blessing be unto you." Verse 5, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." He said, "It's the sinner." Who is this? It's the sinner who was brought back. That's who this is. Brought out of the bondage of sin. Brought to a place where she sees what she is and she sees her need of grace, her need of mercy and grace. And he said, she's begging for it. She's begging for it. Verse 7, "She said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. She came and she was begging. And that's a precious place to be. I'll be honest with you. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be a beggar. Doesn't that sound strange? But I'm being serious. I want to be a beggar of mercy and grace. You know, like John Newton said, do I love the Lord or no? You decide. If I have not loved you before, would you help me to start right now? Well, if I have never truly been a beggar of mercy and grace, because some people are not. If I've never truly in my heart gotten alone with God in my closet and begged Him for mercy because of the sinner that I am, and grace in the free gift of His kindness through His blood, help me to begin today. Would you make me a beggar today? A beggar of mercy and grace. Turn with me over to Matthew 15. There's another precious woman. Ruth is a precious woman, but there's another one here in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I'm telling you, if I have never said that before, Lord, let me start saying that today. Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from. And here's two key words. She's saying, I'm saying what I am and I'm saying who I belong to. She said, the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Yes, I'm a dog. And I'm your dog. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He said, you're going to get exactly what you're begging for. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Our Lord said, ask and you'll receive. He said, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Ruth is about to find that out, and all of God's people will find that out. And this is my prayer. In the world of religion, when so many men and women are asking God for so many things, but the one thing needful. Lord, teach me to ask for the one thing needful. I need mercy in your blood. And I need grace. I need for you to not give me the punishment I deserve. Mercy. And I need you to give me the man who I don't deserve, Christ, grace. Go with me back to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth 2 verse 7, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. That she tarried a little in the house. She took a break. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? He said, do you hear my voice? And that's what Christ says to every single one of his own. Do you hear my voice? I'm speaking to you. Does our Lord speak out loud? He speaks through His Word to the heart. In John 10, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." After hearing the voice of the Master, God's people know the difference in His voice and another voice. They do. And they won't hear another voice, and they won't follow another voice. They just won't. They know His voice. Verse 8, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not My daughter? Do you hear Me? Hear My voice. Hear My command." He said, "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by My maidens." What He's saying is, grace is here. Everywhere else is going to be a work for you. Don't mix the two. Don't mix the two. Do not mix your works with My grace. This is so important to know. Ruth was not a worker. She was a beggar. She was a gleaner. She was just gleaning. And He said to her, "You stay right here. You stay in My good green pasture. You stay with My people, and it will go well for you." And He said, "This is My good news to you." Verse 9, He said, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." What He's saying is, all Mine is thine. Everything that you have need of, I'll freely give it to you. And that's the message that the child of God hears once Christ is revealed to that child. We realize that we hear His voice because He quickened us and He made us alive to hear His voice. And He quickened us and He made us alive because we were one of the ones that were chosen to be given to Christ, chosen to be redeemed from all this sin in His blood. We were chosen to belong to Him. Predestinated to belong to Him. And if God the Father gave Christ, gave His life and His death, His body and His blood, if God the Father gave Christ to us and gave Christ for us, if He was willing to give that, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Verse 9, He said, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Everything you need, I freely give it to you. I freely give it to you. Verse 10, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" That's the question of every believer who gets a hold of the gospel. Every believer says, "Why me?" Before that, everybody's saying, "Why not me?" But once a believer sees Christ as He is, for who He is, and once a believer sees himself or herself as they are, for who they are, and they realize the grace and the mercy and the glory of what Christ has done, the condescension that He came down and the how high He's raised us up with Him, every sinner who gets a hold of that cries, "Why me? Why would God do this and be so merciful and so gracious to a sinner like me?" Verse 11, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He said, why? It's because I've seen the work that you've done, and you're going to be rewarded for it. A believer hears that and says, what work? What work are you talking about? All I've done is sin against you. That's all I've done. Our Lord answers the question of what work at the end of verse 12 by saying it's a work of faith in the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Good works. Faith in Christ is the work of the child of God. Now, who gets the glory and the credit for the faith? He does. Faith is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. All of it. This is what Ruth is finding out, and all of God's people find out. All of it is the gift of God. It's all a gift from Him. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She said, I don't want to be presumptuous. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. She sat by the reapers. The Lord has been pleased to use the means of preaching to feed his people. All of his people are drawn to come sit by the reapers. He has been pleased to use this means of reaping to feed his people. But let's not make any mistake about it. If any child of God is fed, he's the one doing the feeding. It says he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. He told them, you drop on purpose handfuls of corn for her. Don't just skip over a little bit, and don't just let one fall out every now and then. You reach in and grab handfuls of corn on purpose and pile it up. And then you let her come in after you and just rake it all in. And say, oh my goodness, look at all this food. Oh, it's so much. Look how much is provided. My cup is running. I can't hold all this. How am I going to get all this home? It's just spilling out and spilling over. There's so much goodness here. There's so much grace here. This one man is all sufficient for me. All sufficient. All I need. This was Ruth's song. All I need. All I need. Boaz is all I need. He's all I need. And that's how it is for God's people. Honestly. Everything concerning us is handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. The first time that Henry Mahan ever heard Rolf Barnard preach, he was a very young man, and he was sitting on the front row, and Rolf Barnard asked him, he said, young man, can you quote Romans 8, verse 28? And Henry said, yeah, I think so. He said, well, stand up and quote it. How'd you like for somebody to do that to you in the middle of a message? Well, stand up and quote it. So Henry stood up and he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And he sat down. And Rolf said, that's good. Do you know the rest of it? Henry said, I think so. He said, well, stand up and quote the rest of it. He said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And at the moment that he got the word purpose out, Rolf started just screeching at the top of his shrilling lungs, "Purpose, purpose, purpose, purpose." I wish men and women could get a hold of this. Rolf Barnard had it right. He said, "Everything God does is on purpose." And he said, "Young man, if you ever learn something about God's purpose, you will learn something about the gospel. And you'll learn something about God. Nothing that God does is according to chance. Everything is according to purpose." Everything with God is according to purpose. Creation went according to God's purpose. Election went according to God's purpose. The Father chose who He wanted to save on purpose. Period. Redemption went according to God's purpose. Christ died for every single soul the Father on purpose handed to Him and said, "Save that sinner right there." Period. For each one of those particular souls, God's Holy Spirit is going to come on purpose to particular souls. And He's going to call every one of them back to God. He's going to bring them out of Moab all the way back to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. And our God is so generous with His purpose. He's just so generous. It's not just enough purpose to get us by. It's handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. Verse 17. We'll finish this. Verse 17. "So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, 'Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee.' And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, 'The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz.'" And I can just vision Naomi putting her hand on her head and falling back in her chair. "Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.' And Naomi said unto her, 'The man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen.'" If you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that that means the one that has the right to redeem. She said, "Ruth, honey, praise God from whom all blessings flow. He's led you to the only man who has the right to redeem you. I cannot believe you ended up in his field." He doesn't just have the ability, he has the right. Verse 21, "And Ruth the Moabitess said, 'He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest.' And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field.'" She said, "You make sure it's Boaz alone." And that's what the Spirit of God says to the heart of every believer. It's Christ alone. It's not Christ plus anything else. It's Christ alone. Verse 23, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law." And really, that's what we're doing right now. We're just waiting for the end of the harvest. Dwelling with God's Holy Spirit. We're asking, "Lord, would you send your Spirit into this place and meet with us?" We're dwelling with the Spirit, looking to and hoping for the Lord Jesus Christ and a covenant union with Him, a covenant of a true union with Him. And if the Lord is willing, we're going to hear about that covenant union next time in chapter 3. Boaz is going to make a promise to her. It's a promise of love. It's a promise of redemption. It's a promise of him belonging to her and her belonging to him. And that's all God's people want. Union with Christ. All right, let's all stand together.